This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His assistance. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil within ourselves and from the evil of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide him. Yet whomever He allows to go astray, none can guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except in the state of Islam. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed achieved a great achievement. أما بعد إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today we're talking about having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never losing hope in Allah azza wa jal. Not losing hope in the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah azza wa jal. Not losing hope in the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any aspect in our life. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hijr, upon the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the attitude towards those who lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam said to the angels, and who loses hope in the mercy of their Lord, except those who are astray, except those who are misguided. So the Quran is telling us only those who are astray and misguided would lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times people, as they watch the news, they find calamity after calamity happening, especially in a Muslim country, whether it's a natural disaster or some kind of economic turmoil or political turmoil. And so it has gotten some people to become despondent, meaning to lose hope in the victory of Allah azza wa jal. But we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were designed to never ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read the Quran, and the scholars say 20% of the Quran deals with stories of the prophets. And you read the stories of the prophets, and you will see a reoccurring theme: difficulty and then ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oppression and then victory from Allah azza wa jal. It can't be that someone who reads this book and would still lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. We are the only ummah that recites Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. So every week we recite this surah. And in this surah you see people being tested and then some kind of relief coming from Allah Azza wa Jal. You have in Surah Al-Kahf people being tested in their deen, in their religion. The story of the youth in the cave. You have people being tested in their knowledge. The story of Musa and Al-Khadr alayhim as-salam. You have people being tested in their wealth. The story of the two gardens. And you have people being tested in their knowledge. The story of Dhul-Qarnayn. So we are an ummah that is always aware of this fact, that you're going to be tested and that relief and ease eventually comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can't be that we're reading the Quran and we see the story of Musa alayhi as-salam with Banu Israel, as they're escaping and running across the desert, and an entire army with weaponry and full armor is coming behind them. And Musa alayhi salam and his followers, they reach a physical dead end. What looks to me and you to be the end. So when they got to the Red Sea, the followers of Musa alayhi salam, قَالُوا إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. We're going to be captured, we're going to be overtaken. But Musa alayhi salam, never ever losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he very quickly said, كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. No, my Lord is with me, and He is going to guide me out of this situation. He's going to find me a way out. Many times in the stories of the prophets, you find that it looks like the end, and it looks like a low point in their life, but they never lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal, and they're given glad tidings of a high point to come in the distant future. Never losing hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. And you see this many times in the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholars again say, 1/6 of the Quran deals with issues in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you see, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his seerah, when he is now with Abu Bakr and escaping to Medina, and a man in full armor and weaponry comes to capture them, because there is a price of 100 camels for each head. And now it looks like a low point. They're running for their life and a man is coming to capture them. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells this man, and he was Suraqa ibn Malik, he gives him glad tidings of something good that will happen to him, not in the near, but in the distant future. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Suraqa ibn Malik a very strange question. A man that's coming to capture him, Prophet ﷺ asked him the following question. He said, كَيْفَ أَنْتَ يَا سُرَاقَ وَفِي يَدَيْكَ سُوَارَيْ كِسْرَى. He said, how will you feel, O Suraqa, when on your two wrists will be the bracelets of Kisra? It looks like a low point. The Prophet ﷺ is escaping with Abu Bakr, running for their lives, and there's a price on their head. But An-Nabi ﷺ is giving this man who is coming to capture them glad tidings of something that will happen in the distant future. That he's going to be wearing the personal bracelets of the leader of one of the superpowers at the time, and he's going to be wearing his bracelet. Then An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues on into Medina until he returns to his Lord. Then Abu Bakr is the Khalifa for 2 years until he passes on. Then during the reign of Umar radiallahu anhu, the Muslim forces enter into the palace of Kisra and they send his personal treasures, his personal jewelry back to Medina. And Umar radiallahu anhu opens it and he sees the bracelets of Kisra. Knowing this narration, he called Suraqa ibn Malik. Many years later, he brings Suraqa ibn Malik and he puts the bracelets on his wrists. And he says, now I want you to walk with your hands held high and tell the people what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to you. And Suraqa ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was walking with his hands held high amongst the people. And he was telling them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, on the day of his hijrah, كَيْفَ أَنْتَ يَا سُرَاقَ وَفِي يَدَيْكَ سُوَارَيْ كِسْرَى. How will you feel, O Suraqa, when on your wrist will be the bracelets of Kisra? Many times it looks like a low point, but the prophets of Allah never lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal, and they give glad tidings of high points to come in the distant future. And there are many examples of that in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the things we want to understand, what is the value of having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But not only that, what does hope, what does having hope do for living things? We're not even talking about human beings now. For animals, what's the difference between when an animal has hope and doesn't have hope? They conducted this experiment where they brought rats, these regular rodents, they brought rats and put them in a dark container full of water. There's no light and there's no way out. And they wanted to see how long these rats will keep trying to swim before they allow themselves to drown. And on average, the rats were swimming for 30 minutes, then they gave up. There's no light, there's no hope, so the rats allowed themselves to drown, 30 minutes. Then they repeated this experiment, and they put the rats in the same container, and when it was about 30 minutes, and the rats were about to drown, they reached in, and they saved them. So these rats now, they learn to have hope that they can be saved. On another day, they take these rats that learn to have hope, put them in the same dark container full of water, and they let them swim to see how long they would keep swimming now that they've learned to have hope. In the beginning, in 30 minutes, they drowned. And now that they learned to have hope, they swam past 30 minutes, past 1 hour, past 3 hours, 15 hours, 30 hours, 36 hours of continuous swimming before they gave up and they lost hope. The difference, not in human beings, in animals, in having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was from 30 minutes of continuing to try to swim to 36 hours. This is the effect of hope on animals, let alone believing men and women who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the believing men and women never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never lose hope in Allah azza wa jal. We never lose hope in the victory coming to the religion of Allah and to the Muslims. We never lose hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our many, many sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to my servants, which particular servants here? The ones who have overburdened themselves with sins. They've committed so many sins that they feel paralyzed. Not the ones who commit sins and they quickly repent to Allah, but the ones who have piles and piles of sins. Speaking to those people, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily Allah forgives all the sins, all kinds of sins, and all numbers of sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily, He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. So even when it comes to sins, we never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never lose hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not forgive our sins. Some of the mufassirin, including Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he comments on this verse. He says this verse, according to Ibn Kathir, is not even speaking to Muslims who sin a lot. The verse is speaking to non-Muslims. So if Allah azza wa jalla is telling non-Muslims who don't pray to Allah and don't repent to Allah, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah, Allah will forgive your sins, then what about the believing men and women? And that's why you see, there is no room for people to ever lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no room for people to ever think their sins will not be forgiven. And there is no room for people to ever think that victory will not come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have so many examples before us in the Quran and in the lives of the righteous. So, when it comes to the believing man and woman and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all they need to do is put their hands up and ask Allah azza wa jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kareem, the most generous. And we've never even seen a generosity like that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith of Musnad Imam Ahmad, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man lam yas'alillah yaghdab alayh." Those who don't ask Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will be angered with them. This is a level of generosity we have never heard of. That Allah Azza wa Jalla is so generous that if you don't ask Him, He will be angered with you. That means this is our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're constantly going back to Him, constantly putting our hands up and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars of Islam say, when you want something from Allah, you ask the same way a child will ask something from the parents. If a child says asks something from a parent, and the parent says no, does the child give up? The child will ask again and again, and the child will cry, and the child will beg. They say, ask Allah Azza wa Jal in the same exact way. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask again, and cry to Him, and beg Allah Azza wa Jal. But not only that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith gives a very strange description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌ سِتِّيرٌ. That Allah is حَيِّي, which is from the root حَيَاء. And حَيَاء, there's no direct word for it in English, but it's a combination of being shy and modest and bashful. These are very strange words to describe رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. Very strange word to describe Allah, that He is shy, that He is modest. What would the Lord of the universe be shy of? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hates for you to put your hands up like this and you return them empty-handed. Allah azza wa jalla hates that you ask Him and you put your hands down without Him giving you anything. So that means He will absolutely 100% give you something. Either He will give you what you asked for, or He will give you a similar, something of similar good or benefit, or push away equal harm away from you, or He will give all of it to you on the Day of Judgment in forms of good deeds and in rewards. So that means anytime you put your hands up to Allah Azza wa Jal, this is a win-win situation. You never lose when you put your hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the companions understood this concept very well, the Sahaba. And when they understood that, they said a very short sentence that shows they understood it very clearly. They said, إِذَنْ فَلْنُكْثِرْ. إِذَنْ فَلْنُكْثِرْ. That means we should make a lot of dua. It made sense to them. If every time I put my hands up, I'm going to get something, then I should always be putting my hands up and always be asking upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they understood it like that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akthar. And Allah gives even more than that. So how could it be someone who knows these descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and would ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving them what they want or relieving some difficulty that they're experiencing or some kind of calamity or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving their sins? And we know that this is exactly what it's about, that we sin and we rush and return to Allah azza wa jal and Allah azza wa jal forgives. So that means there's very little room for people to ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were designed to never ever lose hope in Allah azza wa jal. Yet you find many people losing hope and giving up. And this is one of the tricks of the shaitan. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us that when you commit a sin, when you do a good deed, the angel on the right immediately writes down your good deed. But when you commit a sin, the angel on the left withholds, he delays writing down the bad deed. The hadith says for a term of sit sa'at, which means six, and then many times in books and from speakers you hear it translated as 6 hours. But 6 hours doesn't help you repent. 6 hours helps you continue sinning, because someone will sin and say the angel will not write it down for another 5 hours and a half, and they keep sinning, and then I have 4 hours left and 3 hours left. But the scholars say this is from the importance of understanding what a word meant at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time of an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the word sa'a didn't mean 1 hour like it does in contemporary Arabic. The word sa'a meant a few seconds. A few seconds. In the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the wife of Hilal ibn Umayyah, she was brought to court to testify. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her to testify. The narrator says, فَتَرَدَّدَتْ سَاعَةً. She hesitated, سَاعَةً. So it means she hesitated for a few seconds, then she made her testimony. She didn't hesitate for a full hour. So سَاعَةً means a few seconds. Some of the fuqaha said the سَاعَةً is how long it takes the imam to come up the minbar, which is only 3 steps. So that means when you commit a bad deed, you have sit سَاعَةً, 6 of these short moments, seconds, to repent to Allah before the angel writes it down. And if we ever succeed in repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal before the angel writes it down, and it's not going to be in your record, that means Allah will not ask you about it on the Day of Judgment. What an excellent opportunity to quickly rush and repent after committing a bad deed. That means the minute I commit a sin, I instantly, quickly rush to Allah Azza wa Jal and repent and ask for forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. Not giving the shaitan time to come between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to delay your tawbah and your repentance. But this is how it was designed. So it can't be that a believing man or woman in this ummah understands the following concepts and they would ever, ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to make us of those who never, ever lose hope in His mercy and never, ever lose hope in His victory and in His ease. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه. فَيَفَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Surely those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ الْأَمِينَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. أَمَّا بَعْدْ. So we're talking about never ever losing hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. Never losing hope that the final victory will be for the people of taqwa. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Qur'an, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْتَّقْوَى. The final end is for those who have taqwa. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Many times in the Qur'an. And sometimes we share things with each other that make us lose hope. You might hear some people say things like, the Mahdi is the only one that is going to free Palestine. The Mahdi is going to free Bayt al-Maqdis, Al-Aqsa. And these things make you lose hope. Because if the Mahdi is going to do it, that means there's nothing I can do. If I boycott companies that support Zionism, then there is no benefit in that. If I write to congressmen and I try to politically do something to help the Palestinians, there's no benefit in that. All I have to do is just sit, watch it on the news, and wait for the Mahdi to come and do the work. But the scholars say this is actually not true. And the hadith mentions very casually that the Mahdi, when he emerges, he will pray two rak'at in Bayt al-Maqdis. The scholars said it's mentioned so casually, it shows you that Bayt al-Maqdis is already under the control of the Muslims. And this is something that gives you hope. Because maybe I or my children or my grandchildren will be part of the catalyst that will free Palestine or bring back Bayt al-Maqdis to the believers. So that brings more hope as opposed to telling me sit back and there's absolutely nothing you can do. This attitude of nothing to do, we never see this in the Quran. We never see this in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That an Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go on a journey and he will share his camel with two other people. That means he is walking two-thirds of the way. But he physically had to walk. He was not teleported or transported magically. The Prophet ﷺ had to dig the ditch and carry the dirt and the dust, carry the bricks to build the masjid. It was not built for him magically. He had to do all this work. He physically got hurt. He physically got injured. All this to teach the ummah that you have to do your own work. And then the ummah comes and sits for someone to do something for them. And this is what happened when the Mongols or the Tatar invaded Baghdad. When they invaded Baghdad, it is estimated they killed from 1 to 1.2 million people. Men, women, and children. And for 6 long weeks, they were killing people left and right. And not barely a single Muslim would lift a hand to defend himself. So a group of Muslims went and they started hiding into graveyards and graves in the ground to escape the death. And others were confident that the Mahdi will come. Because if 1 million people are killed and the Mahdi doesn't come, when is he ever going to come? So they just sat and waited for the Mahdi instead of defending themselves. And this thing of waiting for the Mahdi, this is not the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're never to sit and wait for someone to magically come and do all the work that we're supposed to do. And if people contemplated the life of the Mahdi, you will see that in the life of the Mahdi, he doesn't wait for Isa ibn Maryam. The Mahdi knows no one can kill the Dajjal except for Isa ibn Maryam. No one can kill the Antichrist except for Jesus, the son of Mary. And yet he still puts together an army and goes out and fights the army of the Dajjal day one. Why didn't he say, I can't kill him, I'll wait until Isa alayhi salam does. He doesn't wait for Isa alayhi salam, we don't wait for the Mahdi. That's how it works. We're the ummah of working. We're the ummah of actually going out and rolling up our sleeves and doing work and not waiting for some kind of miracle to come from anywhere. The thing is that many people confuse the relationship between working and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will either think you make dua and you don't do the physical necessary work, or they will do a lot of work and never once making dua to Allah azza wa jal. Tawakkul, having your heart relying upon Allah, is an act of the heart. In tawakkul, your heart is attached to Allah, but you physically do the work. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was coming back from a Taif, and everyone knows what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a Taif, and he was attacked and he was pelted with rocks and stones. So he's coming back to Mecca, and the Meccans are very angry at him because he slipped out of the city and tried to get support somewhere else. So now the Meccans are very angry with him. Abu Talib died. There's no one to protect him, meaning tribally. So they're going to attack him severely. As they're walking back to Mecca, Zayd ibn Haritha realizes how dangerous the situation is. So he asks him, how are you going to go back to Mecca? They're so angry with you. You have no protector. And they're going to meet you with all their anger. How will you go back to Mecca? Then look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see if he was confident in the victory of Allah from his words or not. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Zayd, O Zayd, Inna Allaha ja'ilun lima tara farajan wa makhraja. He said, O Zayd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give what you see here, Islam and this situation, an ease and a way out. Wa inna Allaha nasirun deena. Allah is going to give victory to his religion. Wa mudhhirun nabiyya. And he's going to make his prophet superior. In the words of the Prophet ﷺ, is he not confident in the victory of Allah? He is 100% confident. So did he just take this confidence and blindly walk into Mecca and receive the punishment and all the torture? No. He still went through the means. What we're trying to say is that there is a difference between making dua to Allah and still seeking out the worldly means. That's how the believers are. So the Prophet ﷺ was confident Allah is going to give victory to Islam and victory to his Prophet. But he still went and got protection before entering Mecca. So he went to Al-Mut'im ibn Adi, who was not a Muslim, and he got the jiwar, a system of protection from him, and then he went into Mecca. Meaning, you don't just make dua and say Bismillah and blindly go into danger. But it's about planning, it's about strategy, it's about being careful and seeking out the means while you're still tied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are just a few of the lessons for our ummah to learn from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his seerah, and from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if that were the case, we would never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we would know how to plan and carefully do things for the betterment of our religion and for the betterment of our communities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who recognize truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it.